Well, today's readings have quite a bit to do with dancing, and they reminded me of the way that my brothers dance at weddings, which is as undignified as anything you'll see from King David. This is, you've probably seen, you know these guys, you've seen them at weddings. These are the guys whose tuxedo jackets are on the backs of chairs, and their sleeves are rolled up, their buttons are undone, and who knows where the bow tie is at this point. And they're doing things like the worm and, hooking arms and spinning in circles and grabbing anyone out of their seats and making them get up and dance. And, you know, people embarrassedly are laughing in spite of themselves, but they're out there on the floor and everyone looks ridiculous and everyone looks amazing. And on you go through the party. And I told this story in the sermon at the earlier service, and someone who was on the mission trip with me came and said, you know, you threw your brothers under the bus, but I saw you dancing with the youth on the mission trip during the worship service. So, just a reminder that there's nothing unseen in the world. David's dancing that way, right? This is, this story is wonderfully complex, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on before it and after it. They've had a lot of battles, and David and Saul have been sort of fighting back and forth over who's serving God better, and Saul keeps trying to kill David. And then we have this story, and they're moving the ark, and David has a moment where he kind of gets terrified of having all this responsibility, and so they park it for a moment in this guy Obed-Edom's house, and then David sees how blessed that household is becoming because the ark is there, and he says, well, all right, we'll bring it on in. And that's where we see this story, where they're moving the ark, and David is dancing with reckless abandon before God, before everybody. His robes are sort of flying open, and he's wearing a linen ephod, which is ancient underwear. It's sort of your undignified garment. It's what would never be seen outside of the household. And, you know, his wife sees him from the window dancing this way in front of all the people and even the servants, and she's mortified, as any of you might be if your spouse were behaving in this way. And later in the part of in the reading that comes after this, they have one of the kind of great married fights of Scripture, and she says, I can't believe you did that, and he kind of says back, well, this was all for the Lord, and that's what makes it okay, and David wins the fight because of that. I mean, because it's Scripture, and that's the lesson it's teaching us, but that's one of the kinds of dancing that we see today. Now, the other kind is this dance in Herod's palace going on, where his daughter, who's also his grandniece on one of the sides of the family, is doing this sort of, you know, harem dance kind of thing, and they're throwing a big celebration of his birthday, and it's all about this sort of the pleasures of the world and this lustful kind of dancing, and he's so pleased by it that he kind of, you know, possibly drunkenly announces that he's going to give her whatever she asks for, and the girl runs off to her mother, who's had a political conflict with John the Baptist, who spoke out against their marriage. And the mother says, well, bring me the head of John the Baptist. You know, and so that becomes the wish, and Herod finds himself sort of caught in a double bind where he's already promised and he's not going to go back on his word. And so all of a sudden, he has to act on this, and that is John's fate. And we see this sort of moment where the disciples of John gather and they ask for the body, which of course is something that anticipates what will happen to Jesus, where a Herod finds his hands tied and Pontius Pilate finds his hands tied, and it's left to the disciples to go and get the body later. Different kinds of parties, different kinds of feasts, different kinds of dancing. Herod's birthday party is all about the sort of well-to-do, the men of power and influence getting together, and it leads to this terrible moment. It's not anything to do with God. It's only to do with Herod. It's not anything to do with worship or giving all you are to God. It has only to do with celebrating earthly things. David's feast, David's dancing, is this thing that happens in public. It's a feast for all the people of God. It's this moment where they're bringing the ark home. It's this completion of some of the promises that were made to Israel. And it's this moment where David throws everything he has into what he's doing for the worship of God to the point of public embarrassment. Now, when you hear these readings on the same day, and the people who put them together do this for a reason, it's to remind us to ask questions like why and how and what is good about this? What makes this dancing better than the other? And the answer, of course, is that it's done for God. It's done with an eye toward what is holy, what is blessed in the world. It's done with an eye towards all of God's people gathered. There's this great feast thrown. Food is given to everyone. There are different ways to dance, and there are ways to dance well in the world. Now, this has been a full week in the life of the church and in the life of this church. Some of you have probably seen the Episcopal Church in the newspaper. We had our general convention, which is something that happens every 3 years, and they propose things and they vote on things, and a lot of it's very arcane and a lot of it's very technical. But one thing that happened this year is the church passed a rite for the blessing of men and women who are in same-sex unions. This is a step for the church, and it's a very limited one. 3 years ago, they decided that bishops and priests who decided to do something pastoral to recognize these relationships were allowed to do it. What this year's resolution says is now if they do it, they will do it by the same rite everywhere in the country, which is really more of an Episcopal way to do it. We have now a common prayer. Still no one's forced to use it. Still no bishop's forced to have it as part of the worship of their diocese, but now we have a common liturgy. Now, there are people in the newspapers who have said that this is a moment like the one in Herod's palace. This is crazy partying and lustful abandon and the voice of the world getting into the church and destroying it. And there are people in the world who say this is David. This is dancing and doing the work of God publicly to the point of embarrassment. As Episcopalians, we don't have a litmus test that binds you to one or the other, but it's something that's happened in the life of the church. And the question that each of us is always left with as Christians is, how do I follow Christ in my life, day to day? The question that we have as a church is, how do we as a community follow Christ day by day? The dancing question, if you will, is what kind of dancing can we do and how can we have everything we do in our life be connected to our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship to Jesus who has declared us blessed? That's the question that we need to keep on our hearts and minds this week and every week. It's also been a heavy week in the life of this parish as we have recognized the loss of one of our members. Many of you will know by now from email or the phone tree or conversation that Sharon Moorhead died this last Thursday. Sharon had battled illness for some time. Father Gar was able to attend her in her last hours. And around 2 or 2:30 on Thursday afternoon, she breathed her last, and we commend her spirit to God. That's something that we'll hear more about. There are going to be some services for Sharon, and many people will want to participate in those. But Sharon really stands out as an example of somebody who knew how to dance with her life. As we think about what kind of dancing is good and what kind of love and relationship is good, Sharon is somebody who showed that forth with all of her friendships and relationships. I've been talking with people who said, you know, there was a good long time in this church where you couldn't show up at an event that Sharon hadn't spent hours putting food together for. She reached out her hands in love. She offered the blessings that had been given her back into the community as blessings to all of us. And she was probably the most visited person in the hospitals and rehab centers that she was in for the last couple months, to the point that the nurses and staff there were driven to distraction just managing the traffic flow as we'd visit. We had a line we were sharing around in the office on Thursday. You might know that it started raining around that hour. And at first we sort of thought it was appropriate that the skies would be raining down tears in that moment. And eventually it occurred to us, you know, Sharon was somebody who kind of devoted herself to taking care of people. And surely the first thing she did when she got up there was tell them, you know, they could use some rain down in Overland Park. I can see some people wearing purple today, which was her favorite color. I'm sure some of that's done in honor of her. The question, how shall we dance, is a good one. It's a holy one. It's something to remember in the weighty times, in the conflicted times, in the joyful times and the sorrowful times of the life of our church. We had a brief witness to some of the dancing that's been going on this week with the Children's Vacation Bible School as they offered some music at the beginning of the service. And there was much more reckless dancing going on through the week, I will have you know. I think they get a little shy when all the parents show up. But it's a prayer that you can make for yourself in this week. How shall we dance? Where is what I'm doing connected to my life with others, my worship of God, even to the point of my embarrassment sometimes? When I think of these questions, I think about when I'm being fully alive the way my brothers are at weddings, the way I may or may not have been on the mission trip dancing with the teenagers. However you can take that question in, whatever it is that you do, I hope that you can think this week about how you do it in love, how you do it with the friendships in your life, how you share the blessings you've been given with those around you who need blessing. It's in Jesus' name that we ever pray these things. Amen.
Amen.